U.S. artillery helps Ukraine's military to reclaim territory near a key Russian-occupied southern city.
Ukrainian forces are getting closer to the administrative border of Kherson, but again, we don't know exactly, the amount of kilometers or anything like that.
Plus, a U.S. healthcare company is helping to build a medical facility in western Ukraine to provide therapy for those traumatized by war.
We hope that more than 40,000 sessions, therapy sessions, will be held in 2023 due to this mental health center.
And later in the program, a Russian band that just a few years ago was about to represent its country at the Eurovision Song Contest charts a new course in the U.S. Today is Thursday, July 7th. From the Voice of America, this is Flashpoint Ukraine. Good evening. I'm Michael Lippin, filling in for Steve Miller. Ukraine's foreign ministry said Thursday that Turkey has allowed a Russian ship carrying suspected stolen Ukrainian grain to leave the Turkish port of Karasu on the Black Sea coast. A Ukrainian foreign ministry spokesman criticized Turkey's move as unacceptable and said the Turkish ambassador in Kyiv has been summoned to clarify the situation. Ukrainian officials previously said Turkey detained the Russian vessel on Sunday at Kyiv's request. Turkey has been using its close ties with Moscow and Kyiv to try to mediate an end to the Russian war on Ukraine. While Ukraine may not like Turkey's latest move, Asla Aydintashbash of the European Council on Foreign Relations says Western powers are more understanding.
There is an acceptance among Western allies that Turkey is involved in this balancing act, that it's not going to cut off relations with Russia, that it is going to do this strategic balancing between Russia and the West. And because Turkey is geopolitically so important at the Black Sea, with the Turkish Straits, there is a tolerance.
As part of that balancing act, Turkish Foreign Minister Mevlut Çavuşoğlu met with Russian Foreign Minister Sergey Lavrov in Bali on Thursday. Top diplomats from the group of 20 countries were arriving on the Indonesian island for a two-day meeting, with Ukraine high on the agenda. After Russian forces appeared to complete their takeover of Ukraine's eastern Luhansk sector in recent weeks, they have been focusing their fire on another part of Ukraine's Donbas region. Reporter Anna Chernikova in Kyiv brings us the latest.
So now the main battlefield has moved from Luhansk region to Donetsk region, for the past couple of weeks and even months, Donetsk region was always under, very intensifying and very heavy shellings. But after Luhansk region was occupied by Russian forces, Donetsk region became even bigger target. And the main two targets in Donetsk regions are two central cities. It's Slovensk and Kramatorsk. And yesterday, Slovensk was hit by a lot of missiles, and it was very, very intensive shelling. We know that evacuation is happening now from Slovensk. Yesterday it was happening to Rivne region, which is in the west. Today it continues to Lviv region, and Rivne region should be again tomorrow. So evacuation of the civilians is happening because it's becoming very, very dangerous. And today, just a couple of hours ago, it was a breaking news about shelling of Kramatorsk, the central part of the city. Shelling of Slovensk also happening in the central part, so it's probably the tactic that Russian forces are trying to reach the central parts where there are most people. So we know that at least one people is dead in Kramatorsk today, and at least six are injured. But more information and more details are coming a bit later.
Anna, what can you tell us about the Ukrainian military's movements around the city of Kherson, which is in southern Ukraine and was occupied by Russian forces early in the war?
More and more, we are hearing some positive news about Kherson region. Again, this is not officially confirmed in terms of particular progression or particular movement towards Kherson region. But we know that some villages are liberated already around Kherson. We know that Ukrainian forces, and this is basically what was confirmed by Ukrainian officials, that Ukrainian forces are getting closer to the administrative border of Kherson. But again, we don't know exactly, the amount of kilometers or anything like that. However, as was recently confirmed by President Zelensky, that with the help of the equipment that Ukraine is receiving from international partners, in particularly HIMARS systems, it was possible for Ukrainian forces to actually attack deep into occupied territories, including Kherson region. And we know that some positive movements are happening. And of course, Ukrainians are very, optimistic and excited about this. And of course, everyone is waiting for official confirmations and official announcements coming sooner or later. But again, we understand that something is actually happening.
Reporter Anna Chernikova in Kyiv, thank you for that update.
Thank you very much.
As Russian forces entered and later captured the southern Ukrainian port of Mariupol in May, they drove out much of its population, including Maxim Kudryashov and his family. They are among the lucky ones who managed to seek shelter in Ukraine's more peaceful western region. Omelyan Oshudliak brings us their story from the city of Rivne.
Work is in a full swing in this repair shop, even though many of its employees are fighting in the war.
We now have 5 displaced persons who took the open positions at the company. They are all really high-level specialists.
Before the war, Maxim Kudryashov worked at large industrial plants in Mariupol. Today he's working again in Rivne.
I finally have normal dreams again. Before that, for a month, in all my dreams, I was running away.
With his wife Ludmila, 7-year-old daughter Lisa, and a pet rabbit, his family escaped after living in their hometown of Mariupol for a month while Russian forces occupied their city.
The rabbit was so helpful for our child. We would put headphones on her head so that she couldn't hear explosions. She would sit and hug the rabbit. With music in her ears, she hid in a corner with a rabbit, covered by a blanket. Then we hid in the basement the same way.
The rabbit passed all the checkpoints in its owner's arms when the family left Mariupol heading west.
Our car was marked with white ribbons, with a large sign saying children. It was obvious I was carrying a child in my arms, yet they still shot at me.
Maxim and Lyudmila stayed in Mariupol for a month because her gravely ill mother needed constant care. Forced to make a painfully hard life choice, they decided to flee when they realized the Russian army was destroying their neighborhood, house after house.
People did not have time to leave the buildings. They fell from the 9th, 8th, 7th floors crying. We saw people jump out of windows because their apartments were on fire, and it was impossible to help them.
The couple says it was a miracle they escaped. Ludmila's mother died in Mariupol after family fled, and their neighbors buried her in the yard. In the relative safety of Rivne, Maxim with his family also managed to leave behind some of their fear.
I became interested in playing the piano a year ago and bought a synthesizer. One tune I composed is called Music of the Sea. I've mixed it with a video of our Azov Sea filmed from the pier. When the war started and everything burned down, everything was destroyed, this video became like a farewell to the city for me. I watch it sometimes, reminiscing about how things were.
Omelyan Oshudliak for VOA News, Rivne, Ukraine.
Ukrainians in Washington marked their nation's Constitution Day last week with a photo exhibition at Ukraine House, a cultural center that opened in 2021. The images by Ukrainian photographers showed what life was like in Mariupol before and after its devastation by Russian invaders. Ukrainian ambassador to the U.S., Oksana Markarova, was at the event and spoke to VOA's diplomatic correspondent Natalie Liu about what lies ahead for Mariupol under Russian occupation.
Mariupol will be Ukrainian. Mariupol will be liberated and Mariupol will be rebuilt. And of course, we will never be able to return the lives that Russians killed in Mariupol. But, you know, we will properly bury them and we will mourn them and we will rebuild the city.
What can America do now to help Ukraine?
What America is doing now, we're very grateful to the U.S. for all the support that we're getting, and we just need America, but all other partners and friends to continue helping us with security assistance, with weapons, with sanctions for Russia, and with assistance to us. We need to win, all of us together.
Do you sense that the weapons delivery has been speeding up some, has picked up speed or no, not yet?
Well, we're working very closely with our partners, and before this phase of the war, during the past 8 years of the war, the United States have always been a strategic friend and ally. So, I mean, we are fighting against a very large and brutal enemy, and of course we need more. But we're very grateful to the U.S. for not only appropriating money, not only supporting us, everyone from president to Congress to people at Pentagon, but also making everything possible in order to help us with it.
Your defense minister indicated that there may be some counter offensives in the summer. Are they coming?
We know what happens to people on the territories which Russia controls. They have been killed, tortured, raped. So we need to liberate our territories as soon as possible. And as soon as we can do it, as soon as we have sufficient number of weapons to do it, of course we will do it. We are defending our homes.
Do you think Mr. Putin is a rational actor in that when he senses defeat, that he will sit down and negotiate with Ukraine?
I'm not a psychologist to answer that question. I just know that the situation is very black and white. Russian Federation, and it's not only just Putin, it's Russian Federation, Putin and every Russian that supports this war, crossed the border in 2014 and attacked a sovereign nation. They illegally attacked Crimea, they illegally attacked Donetsk and Lugansk, and they did the war crimes in Ukraine since 2014. And during the past 125 days, they have started the full-fledged war in Ukraine everywhere. And we need to stop them, and they need to get out from our country.
And some people say time is on Russia's side. There's some articles written on that. They have a bigger manpower, more artillery, that if the war is not won by Ukraine in a short time, Russia could gain more and more territory and control. How do you see this question?
The truth, God, and justice is on our side. We are the ones who have been attacked by Russia. So we hope it will take us not a lot of time to defend ourselves, but regardless of how much time it will take, we will not stop, we will not surrender, and we will win. Because this is our home, this is our people, and we've lost so much from Russia during the past centuries that we will not do it this time.
Have you learned anything about your country, your people, about President Zelensky that you didn't know before?
I always knew that my country is great and that my people are very resilient and that in times like this, we always come together and we always are united. And I'm very proud and honored to represent my country here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're listening to VOA's Flashpoint Ukraine. I'm Michael Lippin. Authorities in Ukraine's western city of Lviv have started building a new national mental health center, breaking ground last month and aiming to open it by early October. One of the key funders of the project is San Francisco-based healthcare company Just Answer, which has had a presence in Ukraine since 2010. I spoke with its marketing manager in Lviv, Andrei Chemez, and asked him why the project is necessary.
Well, you see, like Lviv region, what is, we are in the western part of Ukraine, so Lviv region has become one of the biggest like centers for the wounded soldiers and wounded people that came from the eastern part, where the biggest amount of Russian rockets were launched. And so, yeah, I mean, like, it's the best place to start this initiative. So that's the western part of Ukraine, and especially Lviv. And we have like so many not the refugees, but the people that came from the eastern part, and they are staying in Lviv. They're trying to build their life here from the scratch. And of course, so many people have are traumatized because of the events they have seen and they have experienced during this war. So yeah, that's when the idea came to set this big project here. And our mental health center is it's like a part of a bigger project that is called Unbroken. And Unbroken, that will be like a huge facility of like a really big rehab center, but it will be not include not only like mental health center, it will include like post-surgical, traumatological, post-burn, physical, psychological, rehabilitation for children. It will be like 25,000 square meter rehabilitation center. It will be like one of the biggest in the Europe.
What kind of special treatments will people be able to get at this mental health center that they can't get somewhere else?
That is the good question. But, you know, like, we do not have so many facilities like health, like mental health center, like basically in Ukraine. We had like really old hospital, and in Lviv, and it's only one, and it is not like specific for the therapy. I mean, we do not have so many facilities like in Ukraine in general, so we hope that like more than 40,000 sessions, like therapy sessions, will be held in 2023 due to this mental health center. And we already are waiting for like approximately like almost 15,000 mental health support session during this year, during like from October till the end of the year. So all kind of people can get their help there. That will be not only for victims of the war, like common citizens like of the city can get help there. And of course the refugees, adults, kids, families, everybody, it will be like open for everyone. And later it will be budgeted for from the Lviv City Council budget.
Which organizations are involved in developing this mental health center?
Right now, it's Lviv IT cluster. We have like a big organization of tech companies based in Lviv, and they are sponsoring the construction work right now in the center. Also, that's Lviv City Council right now, and our company, Just Answer, is one of the biggest fundraisers, sponsors, partners. So basically right now, these three organizations, Lviv IT Cluster, it's Lviv City Council, and Just Answer.
Why is a U.S. company like Just Answer involved in this project, and why does it make, you know, good business sense to be a part of the project?
You cannot find a better place to invest than in mental health center or other initiatives that Just Answer already has invested in. That's not the only project Just Answer is budgeting right now and financing right now. So I think like business really needs to build the community. And right now, like in Lviv, we have pretty big tech companies community, and GSensor is one of that companies. So that's our responsibility. And as our CEO, Andy Kursik, always been saying that we are committed to Ukraine and we're going to stay in Ukraine no matter what. The biggest office of GSensor is based in Lviv. We have almost 300 people working in Ukraine. So, I mean, that's just one of the next steps and next like signs that GSensor is committed to Ukraine and we want to help. Basically, our motto and our slogan of the company is we help people. So it's not only among our platform and our like business model that we are having experts that are helping people online, but that's basically even offline. So yeah, I think like such businesses as GSensor, we are responsible for helping people in any way that we can.
We'll hear more of my conversation with Andriy Chemez of U.S. healthcare company GSensor in tomorrow's program. Russian rock band Little Big, which once won the right to represent its country in the Eurovision Song Contest, has released a song condemning the Russian invasion of Ukraine. The band, now based in Los Angeles, recently spoke with VOA's Russian service about its new musical endeavors, in this story narrated by Anna Rice.
In late June, Russian band Little Big released a harsh anti-war song called Generation Cancellation in response to Moscow's aggression in Ukraine. The band is now based in the United States, having left Russia for Los Angeles before the song was released.
Here's our studio. I started with a garage studio, and as you can see, at the age of 37, I've made a full circle and came back to a garage. On February 24th, I woke up because Sonia was staring at me like this. I said, "What? What happened?" And she goes, "War has started." "What war? Who with?" And she says, "A war with Ukraine."
С Украины. Чего?
What?
It was one of the hardest days. It was really scary and horrible. In the days that remained until our departure, we would just sit at home together with the whole band.
Little Big became famous in the months leading up to Eurovision 2020. Their song Uno had been a favorite to win, but the contest was canceled due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Little Big's frontman, Ilya Prusikin, says he loves Russia, but considers the country's actions in Ukraine an unacceptable act of aggression.
We didn't want to remain silent. I considered it some sort of an internal crime against my ideals. I've always thought of myself as a humanist. I've always believed human life is sacred. No war is acceptable.
For the band, this war is also personal.
My grandmother is from Ukraine. She is 100% Ukrainian. I don't care why Russia decided to invade, but they invaded, and now people are dying.
I adore Russia, the country, but not the government. I love the people, my friends and relatives, my city and my school, but not the state.
In the meantime, the band monitors events back home from the warm climes of Southern California. VOA News, Washington.
That's all for today's program. You can find more of VOA's coverage of Ukraine and other global news around the clock on our website, voanews.com, and on our social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. On behalf of Flashpoint Ukraine's team, thank you for listening. I'm Michael Lippin. Good night from Washington.
This is the voice of America, Washington, D.C.